Once again, want to invite everyone to take your Bibles as we will endeavor to consider the matter of God's ready servant. I want to take just a moment to express Bobby Joe and I our appreciation for the warm welcome that we have received, your great hospitality, and most of all for the great edification that you have been to us during the time that we have been able to sojourn in your midst. And we are very encouraged by the work that is underway in this area, and you are very blessed for the number of men that you have to assist, and also with the women and the various duties that they have, and you have a real good work going on in the area, and we will continue to pray for your continued advancements, and we want to thank you for this opportunity. We're going to direct our attention tonight to a statement that was made by the Apostle Paul in the writing of the Roman letter in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, and we're going to use it as a springboard to identify a number of things within the Scriptures that have been set forth for us to be ready for various matters. He said concerning his work in the Lord that he said that I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. The Apostle Paul identifies the matter of being ready to fulfill his responsibility within the proclamation of the gospel in which that he had dedicated his life in order to fulfill. And so we find, first of all, that the Apostle Paul identified a readiness to teach. We as well need to be involved in that readiness to teach as the Apostle Paul himself, that after his conversion that we have with the record of that, or at least that which is set forth within the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, and when the Apostle Paul had fulfilled the responsibility of which he was told to do, to go to the Damascus, to the city that is called Straight, and there it would be told him what to do. And we find of where Ananias had come into him in verse 18 and said concerning him that he was to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. And that's what we have in Acts 22 and verse 16. And so, and upon those words that he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened for this period of time that we have in verse 9, of where he spent 3 days without sight and did neither eat nor drink, that his matter of remorse, if you will, the repentant attitude, finally found a resolution within his obedience to the gospel, and he was ready to arise and eat and take strength. He said that in verse 20, and straightway in the synagogue he proclaimed Jesus that he is the Son of God. As a ready servant, that when the Apostle Paul, that he was ready immediately to be about the work that had been set before him. He was indeed, as it was with that of his desire to preach in Rome, that this will be the rest of his life, that his commitment will be manifested within what he did. Well, as children of God, we know that the Lord also expects us to grow and to arrive at a condition of maturity within our lives, as the Hebrew writer identified in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 beginning, when he said that, for when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So just as the Apostle Paul was ready, he was a ready servant and ready to go forth and to preach and to identify the opportunity, as he did within the Corinthian letter, of how individuals can be reconciled to God through Christ and through that blood that the Lord expects his children to develop and to teach. And as ready servants, that we need to be involved in that progress that we noted as we began, that in regard to the matter that lack of knowledge leads to destruction. And that destruction will eventually lead to a generation that knoweth not Jehovah. And as it already is that there are few that will be saved, we need to be directing our attention to this fact of our growth. That we bring all of that together, that knowing the seriousness of the work that we're involved in, that we endeavor, that we make the necessary preparations, that we will have a growth, that as Paul had told Timothy, that his growth should be manifest to all, that we also, that we need to go from that period of babe, of that of where we are partakers of milk, to that of being able to partake of the solid food as full-grown men. So we find that this matter of being ready to teach is one that we need to be ready to teach because that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 of where the Apostle Paul identified that which is to come, of which we are all looking to that day and understanding that he said, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We all know and understand that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, and that all judgment, that all of us will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds that are done in the body. And therefore, Paul identified in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God." Now you identify that in verse 10 that we must be all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. We are made manifest before God. And here was a case that he identified that knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Are we involved in providing that persuasion to get individuals to understand their need for the gospel and the responsibility that they have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul dealt with that within the Thessalonian letter of those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they will suffer destruction once again, which is to be driven out from the face of the Lord. And knowing that, that we ought to be involved in persuading men. But he also identified in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us," or it preoccupies us, it compels us, that we might hold fast to what the Lord has given us, but that we will be involved in doing that which the Lord would have us to do. And so it says that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And so this matter, the Lord would have us to be involved in teaching and ready to teach because of the fact that there will be a day in which we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And also that within the writing of the Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 of where he identified the point that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And what he does is he brings this on the heels of those that, verse 26, that sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's not going to be another one. That's the point he makes. If we reject the sacrifice that has been made, if we're going to wait for another one, there's going to be a long wait because it's not going to happen. And so those who willfully sin, who turn away from the Word of God that he had identified in verse 28, "A man that hath said it not, Moses' law, dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said that vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. We need to be about teaching, because individuals, those even those that have obeyed the gospel, they have tasted of that heavenly gift that has been provided. They turn away. Individuals today have this concept within the religious world around us that we're under a covenant that is just one of love, and it's one of grace, and God won't hold us accountable as he did under the law. But he identified here in Hebrews chapter 10 that how much sorer punishment, verse 29, think ye shall he be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. We are going to stand before our Lord. We are going to give an account for the deeds that are done in the body. And as he said, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, knowing that that day is going to come, and that when we stand before our God, that he will be just. He knows he will make no mistakes in regards to whether we belong to him or not. And therefore, we need to be ready to teach at all times. We find the Apostle Paul, in his instruction to Timothy, identified his work within what he was to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, actually, when he said, "And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses." And so we find that that what you have heard, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so he identifies this responsibility of Timothy to teach those faithful men, that he might put the right man in the right job, if you will, that the gospel will be preserved, and that that others will be able to hear the word of God. We know from the writing of Mark, in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 38, that in being ready to teach, we are following the example of the Lord, because he was, as was mentioned, or as the song of which we began, of being a servant like Jesus, that's what he did, and he was about that particular work, as Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 tells us, that, "And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed." We find the Lord was one that he was a man of prayer. He prayed early, he prayed late, and he was always about the his Father's work. And so that he had rose up early that morning, he went out, he departed to a desert place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they found him and said unto him, "All are seeking thee." We know that the Lord was about the Master's work. He was about his Father's work. And we too need to be about that work. "And he saith unto them, Let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for to this end came I forth." Now you recall in John chapter 17 that the Lord, in his prayer to the Father for the apostles, said that the Father had sent him, and he is sending his apostles. And so he came for that purpose of the preaching of the kingdom, and he said, "Let us be about that work," in essence. And so we find that we need to be ready to teach the gospel, because of the consequences of it, of what individuals are getting into if they are not prepared to stand before the Lord, and that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We also need to be ready servants, because we need to be able to give answer to those that make inquiry concerning the hope that is in us. The Apostle Peter identified this point in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, of where he said, and who is he, and having identified within this text of the responsibility of brethren toward one another to be humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, tells them of the life that they could live, that if you love life and would see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. He identified in the latter part of verse 12, but the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. And who, as he identified, if you would be zealous of that which is good, who will harm you if ye be zealous for of that which is good? But even if ye should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye, and fear not their fear, neither be trouble. Do not allow the fear of man to keep us from doing that which God would have us to do. And the Lord had identified that with his apostles, that they should not be greatly alarmed. Do not fear man who can kill the body and can do no more, but fear him who could destroy both body and soul in hell. And so here's this matter that you, that who's going to harm you if you be zealous of good work, but even if ye should suffer for righteousness' sake, as we noted this morning with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they suffered and they were willing to do so. But if you do, that we need to understand that we have a responsibility to sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. So we need to be ready servants so that we can be ready to give answer to the inquirers that will ask about the hope that is in us. We need to be ready so we can give answer in a proper manner. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he instructed him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he instructed him concerning his advancement and his work when he said that in verse 14 of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And that handling aright is to cut it straight. As you would take this form of doctrine, if you will, that when you teach it, you will cut it straight. And we need to be ready servants so that we can do so when we speak with those who ask concerning the hope that is in us. And we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that as it was with David, it was with Paul, and it should also be with us. We find that there was a spirit that was in David, and that spirit that was in him caused him to speak. And therefore he said, Paul did in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, and he's dealing with that faith that David had, according to that which is written. And this comes from David's statement within the writing of the Psalms. I believe, and therefore did I speak. As a result of that, Paul said concerning him, we also believe, and therefore also we speak, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace, being multiplied through the many, may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. And as it was with David, David said, I believe, and therefore I speak. Paul said, I believe, and I spoke, and we, if we believe, should also speak. And so we need to be ready always to give answer to those that ask us concerning the hope that is in us, and that we be not afraid to speak, and that we do not allow men to put us in fear that will keep us from doing what the Lord would have us to do. We need to be ready. We noted in the writing a couple of times within the writing of Ezra, in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, of where it identifies that within the work of Ezra, it identifies him as being a ready scribe. He was prepared for the work that he had undertaken. And we'll note in a moment what that work was. But he had set his heart to seek to do and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so could it be said of us that we, because we believe, therefore we speak, that we are ready to give an answer to those that ask us concerning the hope that is in us. As ready servants, we need to make sure that we are preparing for the events of life, spiritually as well as physically, that we will encounter as we sojourn upon this earth. We find that we are to also be ready servants and to be ready unto every good work. We know within the writing of Titus, in Titus chapter 3, and verse 1, of where Paul, once again, he said to Titus, put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. That is a part of the instruction that is given by the Holy Spirit to Paul, of which he gives to Titus, and that as Titus had a responsibility to teach the brethren to be ready unto every good work, so we also, by extension, need to make sure we're preparing for those events. He stated in verse 11 this hope that we have when he said, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we're ready to give answer to everyone that asks us concerning the hope that is in us, understanding that this blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. And so when the Apostle Paul, when he writes Timothy and tells them that they should be ready unto good work, it's what he identified. Put them in mind of these things in regard to it, to be ready unto every good work. Are we ready servants? Are we ready unto every good work? We find that it is for this very purpose that we have been created in Christ Jesus, that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So as his children, and we look upon the matter of the world, the condition that it's in, and that we have the opportunity, not of converting the whole world, but those that we come into contact with, that we can relate to, are we preparing ourselves to be able to meet their questions of what they ask about the hope that is in us? Are we ready servants in that regard that we can have and be a benefit to those that we come into contact with? You recall that when Nehemiah had gone back to Jerusalem to help them to repair the wall and to get it built like it was, his request to Jehovah that was Jehovah would not forget his great work that he had done. He told Sanballat and Tobiah that who tried to deceive him and was going to take his life, he said to them that we're involved in a great work, and basically I cannot be distracted by what you're trying to do. Well, we're involved in a great work, and the world will try to distract us. And we need to make sure that we are continually ready, that we're ready servants to be able to do what the Lord wants us to do, because it is for that purpose and that intent that we have been created. We find in John chapter 15 and verse 16, now this taking place in the night when the Lord was betrayed, we have John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, chapter 17, the Lord, we have his prayer for the apostles. But in John chapter 15, we find in verse 16 that, get over here in John chapter 15 and verse 16, that the Lord said concerning the apostles. He said that I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. And so he had a desire that their fruit, that they would bear fruit, and that that fruit would abide. And that fruit did abide. We have the availability of their words, of what they did and what they taught. And the very fact that we have the opportunity through the blood of Christ to be obedient to the Lord is a result of the fruit of the apostles. Now, just as he had desired that they bear fruit, we also are to bear fruit, and that that fruit will be to the glory of God. And so as ready servants, we need to be involved in regards to that particular event. Now, in the writing of the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 10, this was always one that was appealed to, really on the negative side of it. But when we consider the positive nature of this particular passage, it puts a whole lot more focus upon what we benefit from in regards to our assembling together. Now, these Hebrews that were suffering under the oppressions of their own people, and they had ceased to assemble, he said in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, this matter of provoke is to that of a stimulation, that we need to stimulate one another of life, that's what we need to be involved in. Not forsaking your own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. There's the positive nature. You don't do this, but you exhort. And we cannot exhort if we don't assemble. And so, as far as the collective is concerned. And so we need to be about that this of which the Lord has set before us, that in order to provoke one another, to excite to action or feeling, to stir up, that we need to be involved, and that we do that when we assemble together. So are we ready servants? Do we make the necessary preparations in order to be here and to exhort? It's not so much as to what we receive, but what we're able to give. But in that process, as we give, we receive. And so if for this purpose of being a ready servant and wanting to be pleasing to our God, we need to fulfill these opportunities that we can be exhorted, which is to encourage one to a certain type of life. And when we come together, that's what we do. That you keep within our most holy faith, that we're involved in doing what the Lord would have us to do. In the writing of 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, that in the fulfillment of this work, we do not have to guess. We know that people today, that they'll talk about a good work, that we're doing a good work. And as far as the world is concerned, it may appear to the eye, well, to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eye and the vainglory of life, it may appear to be a good work. But yet the Lord identifies that for His glory when He said that every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. If the Lord does not authorize it, it is not a good work that is associated with our spiritual responsibilities that we have as a servant of the Lord. We also, within being a ready servant, need to be ready to suffer for Christ. In the writing of the Thessalonian letter, in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul spoke about, he had sent Timothy back, that he had been left behind in Athens. Now, he had left Thessalonica under not good circumstances. That when he had identified that in Berea, that the Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, he was specifically identifying the rejection that he had of the Jews. And that caused him to leave. But he had a concern for the brethren. And that concern was overwhelming him, if you will, to the point that he sent Timothy back to establish them and encourage them. And therefore, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left behind at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and God's minister, in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that hereunto we are appointed. For verily, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we are to suffer affliction, even as it came to pass, and ye know that it is a natural result of those who serve the Lord that they're going to receive the persecutions from the people of the world. And we, as the Apostle Paul, when the Lord instructed him as to what it was that he was to be about and what the Lord was going to do with him, as the Lord identifies to Ananias when he said, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias departed and went and told that about the Saul of Tarsus as to what it was he was to do. But in the outset, in the onset, whatever set, that it was a matter that Paul knew that a part of his work was going to bring about persecution within his life, of which he had an abundance thereof. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 18, in regard to the matter of Agabus, of where Agabus had instructed him concerning what he was going to encounter. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 18, he said, see if I have my passage here correctly, I don't believe I do. In regards to the matter of going to Jerusalem, I may have lost my thought there. We find that Paul had been instructed in regards to of that which was going to come to pass. And so here was a matter of the suffering that he was going to encounter. Chapter 21 in verse 10. We find that in reference to that with Agabus, it said, "And as we tarried there some days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And coming to us and taking Paul's girdle, he bound his own feet and hands and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What do ye, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That as ready servants that we need to be, as the Apostle Paul, one that is ready to suffer. And thus we find, as Paul had instructed Timothy, that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Are we ready disciples? Are we ready for those matters that the Lord has set before us, that we can not only save ourselves, but all those who will hear us? And that's what the Apostle Paul also said to Timothy, that we need to be ready to suffer. Now, in order to do so, this is going to require that we have a prepared mind. We find that the disciples, that early on in the writing of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, and they were suffering the various persecution by the rulers in Jerusalem, and we find that in verse 40, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles," now here was a matter of a little bit of common sense that was put into play by Gamaliel in regards to how they're going to deal with the apostles. "And so when to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles unto them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for His name, or for the name. And so we find that as ready servants, we need to prepare our mind to be ready to deal with the problems of persecution. We find that within the writing of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, that identified this matter of the for hereunto ye were called, that we have this. What I have, I may have misplaced my things. Servants had a responsibility to their masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Here was something that they were going to suffer as a result of. And the Lord instructed them that they were to deal with their masters in a proper manner. And in verse 21, He said, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that ye should follow His steps." The ready servant needs to be ready to suffer in regards to that of what the Lord has provided for us through His blood, which will bring the persecutions of the world. In the writing of the Roman letter, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, of where Paul said that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. So throughout the Scriptures, we find that being ready to suffer and having the proper attitude and mind in that regard will help us prepare for what the world will set before us. We find that the Lord's servant must be ready, as we've noted, to teach, must be ready to give answer to all those who ask concerning the hope that is in us, must be ready unto every good work, as the Apostle Paul identified with Titus, and that we must be ready for and able to suffer for Christ's sake. The question is, are we ready servants? In the writing of the Corinthian letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul identified, "Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. For, as we began the study, we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Are we ready servants? Are we in the position that we make it our aim to be well-pleasing unto Him? If you are not, we trust that you will take the information, will know that you will one day stand before the God of heaven and give an account for the deeds that are done in the body, and that if you will respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That's the means through which God has selected to save us through His Son, and it requires an obedience to that, that we might be obedient to that form of teaching whereby we can be delivered. And if you have not done that, we encourage you to answer the invitation of the Lord, of whence He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And if that's what you desire, you know, as a mature, as an adult, you know that you have violated your own conscience. And in so doing, that you chose to do that which you do was evil, you have sinned against the laws of God, and you stand separated between you and your God. But that separation is not one that is permanent, because you do have an avenue through Jesus Christ, that as the Apostle Paul, when Ananias came to him and he said in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." And Paul did that very thing. Will you do it? Will you be obedient to it? And will you respond to the gospel message while you have the time, that it will not be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? If that's your desire, the invitation song is selected. And if you have a desire to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the elders will be more than happy to assist you in your obedience if you will let them know as together we stand and as we sing.